Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
From the Fifth Quarter Studio in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to High School Hoops with your hosts, Steve Collins and Jake Steger.
Here we go. All right, welcome to High School Hoops. Coach, I'm gonna give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It is the Netflix for basketball coaches, but it's better than Netflix. It's just better. Anyway, it's got everything you need to become a better basketball coach. Go over and check it out. I've got two kids in college. I don't want to work until I'm 97. If you like the podcast, if you like the stuff that we all put out, go over and join teachhoops. And then also go over and help out Dr. Dish. They are the best. Their customer service rocks. I'm just being real. There's a reason I've talked about them for like 3 years. They are great machines, great people. Go mention us and they'll give you $450 off. All right. So we're talking about blobs and slobs. So for the non, see, I never learned them as blobs and slobs. I learned them as side out of bounds plays and out of bounds plays or baseline out of bounds plays. Now I know that's what beat blobs are. But I never really saw that abbreviation till like 15 years ago, 10 years ago. I don't know. Is it a new thing?
Well, that's basically when I started my career. So that's I don't know. You're just a lot older than me.
I'm older than dirt, man. I am. I'm noticing it. I'm like, I'm
really,
like, cause I went up to the lake and I had to bring in like the float out of the lake and move all the canoe and all that stuff inside and lifted it. And it was just me. Anyway, because my mom and dad can't get up. Anyway, that's a whole different story. I'll tell you that off the air. So I didn't stretch, and I had to lift stuff, and I was hurting the next day. My back was hurting. So it tells me as I'm getting older, I got to stretch more. I got to lift more. I got to do some of that stuff just to keep getting older at bay as long as I can keep it at bay. Anyway, I don't lack for energy, but I don't know. Only one body. All right, so blobs and slobs. What's your thought on
that? So I really just want to keep this simple because we're still early in the season. You know, what's your approach to installing baseline out of bounds plays and style out of bounds plays? Time allotted, mistakes you've made in the past, just talking a little bit.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question before I'm going to ask you a question before I answer a question.
Yep.
How many?
Huh.
Before January 1. Ooh, it got really quiet. See, dead silence is not good on a podcast.
No, it's not. So it's real though.
We're smelling the wood burning.
I would say 3 to 4.
Of each?
Yes. No. 2 slobs maybe and 3 to 4 out of bounds plays underneath. Maybe three man to man.
I'm less than 4 on slobs for our blobs for baseline out of bounds plays. I'm usually at 3 by January. 3 good ones.
For blobs? 3 for good blobs. Ones for blobs?
Baseline, 3 baseline ones. Maybe I'll add a fourth, but
in the same formation or different formations? Are you to the point of choosing your best stuff for the playoffs? Or are you still kind of
they're not as effective as they were 20 years ago because people just were over scouted now.
So yes, I agree. That's why we have this conversation.
My thought is changing more often and having less. I haven't dove into that yet. And it depends on how smart your team is, but maybe have 2 and then just totally change in 2 weeks and then 2 more and then change. So people can't keep on top. So you won't be as good at them,
but you might catch him off guard. So that's one thought. I haven't dove into that yet. I have a meeting with my assistants on Wednesday. That's my first thought. Slobs, I usually have one really good one. I need one that I know I can get it in, and you know, and then I have maybe one or two end of game ones. So I tend to have two or three on slobs. One is more, we're going to run this if it's halfway through the third quarter or something. But then I'll usually have, you know, I call them one's victory, one's win, you know, just psychologically. It's like whatever. But those are to score because we got the ball and there's 6 seconds left and we need to score. So that's where and the install, it goes back to like the install of a quick hitter, the install of an offense. I got to give it to them in multiple ways. I got to give them to them on paper. I got to have them diagram it. I got to show them. I got to video it. I got to have them walk through it because every kid's a little different. But I think the walkthrough is key. And then what you were saying before we jumped on with this one, it's like, I usually know who I want to throw the ball in. But sometimes that person that throws the ball in has to be on the court because of foul trouble. So most of the time I'll have a coach throw the ball in initially when we're running it. So everyone's got to take a different spot. And then I'll grab the kid because we all have that kid. Like, you're throwing it in every time. Sorry. I don't trust anybody but you.
Right. I agree. I totally agree.
That kid's in foul trouble or that kid needs to can score. So then I usually, because the kid that doesn't know what to do will always throw the ball in. They, you know, week three and they still don't know the out of bounds play, they'll always throw the ball in. because they don't have to know anything. They just got to go two, you know, and then slap the ball. Well, how hard is that?
But how do they know where do they have?
Because it doesn't matter because they don't. They don't know where to look. That's the problem. They don't know the reach. I've done this long enough. Trust me. Try it, coaches. Guarantee the kid that's dumb as a rock is going to throw it in. And that's the kid you don't want throwing it in because they don't know where to go. Now, if you move a kid up from JV or you move a new kid or you're doing something, it is also a place to put a kid that it's like, all right, you're new here. Just throw it in and everyone else can do it. But anyway, what's your thought on slobs and blobs and
I guess for me, I like to, when I'm installing something, is it a way that I can score a basket? If I'm not, I really want to create 2 to 3 really good plays and be able to score off of it, just not to do it. You know, I want to execute. I want to be really good at a couple good plays. I don't want 50 of them. I just want to be able to execute 2 or 3 of them. I think that's one thing. That's important to me. I often feel like I've scored a lot against zones, but having a couple good blobs against the zone is effective. Cause I don't think that's something we think about as often. So I think, having a good out of bounds play against the zone, another really good thing to have is often the ball gets stuck in that deep corner. I think of having some type of play where you are in that deep corner is effective. Whether you have a variation of one of the two plays that you're, or 2-3 plays that you are already installing. I think the other thing is, like, so often I've noticed this in particular, even from the highest level, is making sure these players interchange spots. Because most of the time they all gravitate to that one spot.
One spot. They'll learn one spot. And then if their two kids know the one spot, then you're toast. I know.
And you're screwed.
So we'll do five. We'll play to five, and I'll have two different groups, and you got to go to a different spot each of the five times because there's five spots each time, and then we keep score. So white versus red or whatever your colors are. So if red gets to go five times, everyone, and they get to run one play, the same play over and over, because then they'll start learning reads too, and the cheats and all that kind of stuff defensively, and you got to go to a different spot each time. And the defenders have to go to a different spot each time for playing man. And the same thing, then white gets to do it. It works. Because then they can't cheat.
So the last thing, coach, I want you to touch on when installing is, I think we often believe that screening is the most effective way for out-of-bounds plays. And I remember watching one of your DVDs years ago that you did. I have stole this from you, is I've had far more success by creating space and cutting, because if I have space to cut one way or the other, it's more effective. So
Is and
sometimes when
counters like
installing, we,
pretend like you're
yeah.
screening and then flip. It's telling you.
Yes.
I know.
So I'm not trying to like boost your ego, but I
Thanks.
mean, that
Thanks.
is like one thing that I remember that
You can
like
watch that video.
years ago.
You can watch that video in ttroops.com for coaches who want to
But
get
I'm just
better.
saying, I'm telling you right now that it's one thing that I have changed with out of bounds plays. I've always used to have the screen to screener. Well, they could just switch on a screen, or they could just do this or that. Like sometimes it's like overloading one side and having a 1v1 isolation to allow that athlete to go one way and then go the opposite direction. Like sometimes it's just simple things
I
that you
know.
can do are the most effective.
It is. It's counters and simple. Keep it that we're going to end with that. Keep it simple, coach. Keep it
The kick
simple.
method.
The kick method. Kick method. That's good. I like that. We're going to use that. All right. Till next week.
Sports Social Podcast Network.